From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in the Book of Acts as he brings the next portion of a message entitled The First Persecution. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Nothing Old. The text is Revelation chapter 21 and verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Glory be to his name. All things need making new, for they are sadly battered and worn by sin. It is time that the old vesture was rolled up and laid aside, and that creation put on her Sunday suit. But no one else can make all things new, except the Lord who made them at the first. For it needs as much power to make out of evil as to make out of nothing. Our Lord Jesus has undertaken the task, and he is fully competent for the performance of it. Already he has commenced his labor, and for centuries he has persevered in making new the hearts of men and the order of society. By and by he will make new the whole constitution of human government, and human nature shall be changed by his grace. And there shall come a day when the body shall be made new, and raised like unto his glorious body. What a joy to belong to a kingdom in which everything is being made new by the power of its king! We are not dying out. We are hastening on to a more glorious life. Despite the opposition of the powers of evil, our glorious Lord Jesus is accomplishing his purpose and making us and all things about us new and as full of beauty as when they first came from the hand of the Lord.
Oh, exchange for the cross of Calvary.
At this season of the year, the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. The Apostle John wrote, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Prior to the birth of the Lord Jesus, Joseph was told, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while supplies last. Chapter 4 of the book of Acts relates the first instance of persecution, which followed at once upon the demonstration of God's power in healing and conversion. As Dr. Cairns demonstrates, God's blessings and man's curses often parallel one another. The persecution was rooted in hatred of Christ. It brought together groups that normally would never work together, forming a unity of evil against the gospel. The persecution began immediately following the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Apostates always seek to put the brakes on the preaching of the gospel. The persecution was marked by typical characteristics: imprisonment, questioning of the preacher's authority, and threats. Yet, in the face of their persecutors, the apostles manifested great boldness, something sorely needed in the church today. Now, to continue this message, the first persecution, here is Dr. Cairns.
We're in business against the unity of evil, unity in its evil in its doctrine, evil in its practice, evil in its aim to stamp out the preaching of the Word of God. Now then, I want you to notice when this unity of evil started to work. Pentecost hadn't been lost on them. They had seen what had happened when these same people started preaching on the day of Pentecost. They saw 3,000 people saved, and lo and behold, they see them preaching again. They're afraid of the power of the Word of God, and in they come to stop them. And you'll notice what they say. I laugh when I read this. Verse 17, that it spread no further. Can't you see them? They've had 3,000 converts. Let's stop this preaching. They were too late, of course. For I read in verse 4 that 5,000 had already believed. Can't stop the preaching of the Word of God. But that's always the way. First, the first thrust of persecution is always to put the brakes on the preaching of the gospel. Now, again, I don't need to take time to labor the application to the current American scene. Sure, you'll not be put to the stake for preaching the gospel in America today. But there are gospel preachers who have gone to jail in America just for their stand for God. That's the beginning. That's the beginning. Put the brakes on the preaching of the gospel. My friend, it's time that we realize what's happening. Now, I'm not altogether perturbed that it's happening. In fact, a good dose of it wouldn't do us a button of harm. Because when God's people really are up against it, then they're going to be thrown on their faces to pray. And I'll tell you, a lot of the lackadaisical praying will soon be drummed out of God's people in this country and any other country once a good dose of persecution comes their way. But here's how it starts. Stop the preaching. Put all sorts of restrictions on the preaching. Whether it's street preaching, house preaching, or in a church. The time will come, we'll see it. It'll certainly come when that will be an effort greatly strengthened against the work of God. You'll notice the doctrine they hated particularly was the literal belief in the Bible, and the literal belief in the fundamentals of the faith, and especially the doctrine of the resurrection. Man, they didn't like that at all. You see, these people have nothing against you being religious. They have nothing against you being a nice sort of a preacher. You know, as long as you get up and you hold your hands together in a most poetic fashion and wring them like some woman half out of her mind and put all sorts of contortions on and give them a little poetry and a little oratory and a little homily and all that. That sort of religion wouldn't stir the devil. Man, if I was the devil, I'd be coming to that preacher and say, go at it, boy, you're doing a good job, I'm with you all the way. There's a lot of preachers around today, and that's exactly what the devil would say to them. But let them get to preaching Christ crucified, risen, and glorified. And not only that, but let them get to preaching what these people were preaching, resurrection in and through the risen Christ. Let them get to preaching the power of the gospel. Let them start transforming lives. Let them start saving souls. Let them start robbing the devil of his prize fools. Man, then you'll get the devil mad. That's exactly what was happening here. The persecution starts because their hatred of the preaching and the doctrine. But, as I said, verse 4 is a wonderful tonic to any fundamentalist, any Bible believer. They can't stop God's word. When I read verse 4, howbeit, those are the kind of words you should underline in the Bible. God's howbeits and God's buts. We want to underline them, for that's God having a good laugh at the devil and his crowd. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word, all the priests were against them, but they still believed. You believe in irresistible grace? I certainly do when I read the Bible. The priests were against them. Did that stop the Holy Ghost? No, sir. The Sadducees mocked this whole doctrine of conversion. Did that stop the Holy Ghost? No, sir. The ruler of the temple comes and says, I'll throw you out. You'll never get back in. Does that stop the Holy Ghost? No, sir. Nothing can stop the Holy Ghost. When he starts to move, God's laughing at the devil's crowd here. He says, do your worst. These 5,000 souls are saved, and you can't do a thing about it. Oh, that God would visit in that kind of a way today. Oh, that today we may see the Lord move in that mighty, irresistible fashion, like a great tidal wave of blessing, sweeping all the opposition of the devil's crowd aside. When I read that verse, I think of 2 Timothy 2 and 9. Howbeit, the word of the Lord is not bound. God's word's not bound. Or you can put the preacher in prison, but you can't stop the preaching. That's what happened to Northern Ireland when they put Dr. Paisley in prison. They said, that'll shut him up. It did it. Gave him the best holiday he'd ever had in his life. He needed it. And the Lord put him there to let him recuperate. But we saw more people saved in the next 5 years than we'd seen in the many years before that. We doubled the number of our churches in just a couple of years. Can't stop the word of God. When they took that man and put him in jail, I stood in crowds before thousands of people. Traffic jams in all directions. People just cramming everywhere into a big field in the middle of nowhere to hear the gospel. Can't stop the word of God. The word of God is not bound. Oh, that it may indeed in our lives and through our ministry have free course and be glorified. Now, that's the cause of the persecution. I want you to notice the character of it. And again, I'm not going to try and expound this because the area, number of verses, is much too great. But notice the three things. Again, there's nothing new under the sun. First, verse 3, there was imprisonment. Shut them up, put them in jail. Put them in jail. Well, if putting a man in jail, especially for this short time, was going to shut him up, he wouldn't be much of a man to start with. When I think of some of our brethren today behind the Iron Curtain, this is why I get so hot against the World Council of Churches, standing, shaking hands with KGB men, making them vice presidents of the World Council of Churches. When I think of the Baptist Congress up in Toronto, and let me say this to the shame of American Baptists, there wasn't one American Baptist leader went to protest. Not one. When the World Congress of Baptists was up there in Toronto, not one American Baptist leader would get in a plane. Oh, they'll go up there to raise money for their television shows. They'll go up there to get money for their whatever you have it, their radio outfits and all the rest of it. But they wouldn't go to protest. It was Presbyterians who protested. It was Ukrainian Baptists who protested. That's the sort of thing. But up there in Toronto, what did they have? They had the leaders of the official Baptist movement from the Soviet Union. KGB officers, the very people who had taken God's people and imprisoned them and murdered them, and they're exalted to the highest positions, both in the World Baptist Alliance and also in the ecumenical movement. There they are. Why do I hate them so much? My, they have got some of the choicest saints of God, and they've had them incarcerated in Russian jails and Siberian prison camps for years. For years. A lot of attention has been focused on Georgie Vins' family. I hope that Georgie Vins doesn't get carried away with the new evangelicals in America. It's very difficult for a person coming out of a country into a great country like this to keep his feet. He's surrounded by so many people who are not separatists, and yet they have supported the separatist movement in Russia with money and gifts and all the rest of it down through the years. I trust that man is led of the Lord, because that family, for three whole generations has spent most of its time in jail. Most of it. For three whole generations in jail. I think of people in Russia imprisoned today, and they'll never see their families again. I think of mothers who have seen their children just taken from under their noses, and they'll never see them again. I think of the reports, and I do read these things, and what's more, I have friends who operate behind the Iron Curtain, and I know what I'm talking about. I think of people who have simply been whisked off the street. 6 weeks later, their family gets a notice to say that they collapsed and had a heart attack. They were murdered. Imprisonment. We haven't got that far yet, but it'll come. That's how they started here. And then there was the interrogation. Verse 5 through to 7. What a question they asked. By what power and by what name have you done this? They gave Peter a good text to preach. And boy, he didn't miss the opportunity. He certainly preached it. And then verse 13 through to 18, there was the intimidation. They didn't have the power of the Russian dictators to just throw them into jail for a long time, and so they couldn't go so far as they wanted to. You will see verse 21 very clearly that they wanted to do a lot more, but they couldn't. They desired to do more than they dared to do. But nonetheless, these are the three characteristics of this persecution. Imprisonment, interrogation, and intimidation. But the strange thing is, that tells me much more about the hearts of the people who were doing the persecuting than anything else. Verse 16 and 17. They were doing this out of blind prejudice. Look at verses 16 and 17. They say, we cannot deny it, verse 16, but verse 17, that it spread no further, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Now, these are supposed to be servants of God, supposedly. And yet, out of their blind prejudice and their blind hatred of the name of Jesus Christ, they're out to stop it. And then you'll see that they persecuted in spite of the evidence of their own eyes. Look at verse 13. When they saw the boldness, there are four things they saw. And again, I'm only going to point them out. And let me say this. This is the sort of testimony you and I ought to have if we're saved. The world should see this in you and it should see this in me. But look at verse 13. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, what did they first see? Their boldness. Look, let's get the kid gloves off when we're fighting the devil. Let every Christian really get to this work. And some of you who say you're saved and you're sitting in the fence and you're doing nothing for God and you're just sailing as close to the wind of this world as you can sail and you're getting by with as little spirituality as you can get by with. And you're as like the world as you can possibly look. My friend, look, it's time for Christians to get bold for God. It's time that we got the gloves off in fighting the devil. It's time we came and said, Lord, set me on fire for God, as these people started to pray. Man, I think of these people. Here they were already bold, and they go and they pray, Lord, make us bold. Now, if those people needed to pray, Lord, make us bold, what do we need to pray? What do we need to pray? Their boldness, they saw that. Fearlessness, straightforwardness, stepping right out. None of your 20th century diplomacy here. None of your evangelical or new evangelicals, half-truths and syrupy talk. No, sir, they're out there and they're straight up and down the line for God. Whether it means they live or die, they're going to stand. I want to tell you, never, never in the history of the world has God blessed a mealy-mouthed preacher. Never. Never has God blessed a church with revival that was half-worldly and unwilling to take a stand. The New Testament church certainly was marked by boldness. Martin Luther, the man who shook popery, he was marked by boldness. In fact, his translators apologized for his boldness. They won't translate half times what he said. It's too rough. I would rather have a tongue like Martin Luther's that would save the world than have the smooth tongue of an Ahithophel that would damn my best friends.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.